What's going on, guys? And welcome to episode 6 of the Bay LA podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. I'm your Lakers guy, Austin Sexton, and your host recording here at my apartment. I've gotten kind of cozy here, so I'm going to try this out again. Unfortunately, I don't have a mic stand, though. So for those of you watching the YouTube version, I actually look like a host holding this thing. It's kind of weird. But joining me tonight are my guys that I'm always talking hoops with. It's Casey and Roman. How we doing, guys?
Doing good.
I'm hanging in there. Just got a bit of head cold.
I was just waiting. I was just waiting for the smoker voice, and we're like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, the reveal.
Yeah. Hey, before we get going, guys. Before we get into it, make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us on Spotify. Subscribe to us and give us the 5-star right here on YouTube. If you're catching out the vlog version of this, where some guys like to talk hoops in a group chat, and somehow we're here on social media doing the damn thing for you guys that just like to listen to sports and are probably driving in your car or, you know, washing the dishes or something right now. If you can't get Stephen A. Smith, if you can't get Trevor Lane, if you can't get Warriors Talk, you can get Bay LA. So make sure to subscribe. So, man, big weekend, big week. It's kind of crazy to say that the Lakers and the Warriors are now officially playing basketball. How you guys feeling about everything so far? Did you get to check out the games?
Got to check out the Warrior game, and yeah, it was a good watch. Pretty excited.
Was that yesterday? Today's
Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday. Yep.
But I watched it on Sunday.
God. Oh, you watched it on Sunday though.
Yeah, I recorded it and then I watched it. Yeah, a couple times, like before the 49ers game, and then a little bit after. Yeah. We won't talk about that.
Yeah, we don't have to go over that. But yeah, I watched the game on Saturday, and yeah, I liked a lot of the things that I saw, and yeah, we can get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a bit. The Lakers played 2 games. We played on Friday against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we played yesterday, which would be Sunday, against the Phoenix Suns. On Friday, we did not play LeBron or AD. It was we started out with Austin Reeves. We had Max Christie and Jackson Hayes. We had Max Christie and Jackson Hayes starting for LeBron and AD, and then we also had Rui, Austin, and D'Lo. So we kind of went with a small ball lineup. I don't think, and obviously too, it was seeing J.J. Redick for the first time as a head coach. Not going to lie, I loved it. As a guy who has been watching this team religiously for years now, seeing all the different head coaches, J.J. seems like he has his shit together. He is calm. He is poised. He's trying to get the Lakers to jack up a shit ton of threes, but I'm liking it. You know, I think it's also because he's a three-point shooter. But not a lot to take away from game one against the Timberwolves. It was a landslide victory for the Wolves. We at one point had a 4-guard lineup out there with Rui Hachimura playing the 5. Obviously, it's because we had no Anthony Davis, and then Jackson Hayes was getting his rest in, and we weren't playing Colin Castleton yet or Kyler Kelly. We did get looks at those guys. I remember we were talking about them at the beginning. Beginning of the first couple episodes, when we were kind of just going through rotations who we wanted to see play. Finally got the first look at Kyler Kelly. Super tall guy. Seemed athletic, a little skinnier than we'd like. You could definitely tell he'd be the last guy on the chopping block. Also, getting ready. We want to see him, but he's not ready to go yet, according to clearance. But Christian Coloco, he's going to be pretty cool to see as well. But I think the things that we could actually talk about came from game two. The number one thing being Bronny and Bron sharing the court for the first time. Did you guys get to see the highlights?
Yeah, I was able to watch a little bit of that. And I mean, as corny as LeBron has been throughout his career, getting to witness something that like is a 1 in a million opportunity of a legendary NBA player play a live game with his son. Like it's just incredible. It's so cool.
Yeah, that was definitely a special moment for sports just in general.
Yeah. So I think it's gonna be better, obviously, when it comes to the real games. You know, I actually got the specs on it. The two-way guys and the G Leaguers are gonna be with the parent team for all parent teams throughout the association for the first 3.5 weeks until the G League actually starts. So we're gonna have a chance for the Bronny to Bron oop de loop, as Brock was saying. The Bronny to Bron oop action, or whatever we want to call it, probably sometime in the first 3 weeks. So that being said, if we're gonna dive down the rabbit hole of of Bronny. I don't know if you guys actually got a chance to really watch the games, but I think Laker Nation, if anybody from Laker Nation, or if we have serious Lakers fans who are listening to this, I think that if you're being real with yourself and you're not just the sure, you could be the casual Laker fan, but if you're somebody who actually knows sports, you know that Bronny's going to the G League. You know that Bronny is not necessarily NBA ready. He's a decent defender as of right now. And I think like everybody that watched was like, oh my gosh, is this GP2? Is this the Lakers GP2? Which is crazy. But you have to have the realistic expectations knowing that Bronny is going to go to the G League. You can tell he's not comfortable out there yet. He doesn't really have an offensive identity, which I feel comfortable saying. I feel like anybody who watched those games knows that, you know. And, you know, there was a moment where LeBron dished the ball to Bronny on the right corner. And the right wing. And he put up the shot. And everybody who was watching that was, like, praying that it went in and it went off. So that would have been a cool moment, though. But I think if we're being real, yes, watching the last – two games, we know that Bronny's not going to be a parent team player. But I mean, he'll get his 3 weeks. So I don't know if you guys got to see him play at all. But it was kind of it was like, damn, I really wanted him to do well. I really wanted to see him like make a move. But you could tell he was thinking about it a lot. I mean, can you imagine being him in that situation? Like everyone is there for that moment. Like you gotta have to live up to that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I didn't get to watch the games, but I saw Bronny's stat line, and yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, first two preseason games, like preseason in general, it's like try not to overreact about anything. But
yeah,
we saw this happen with Bronny in summer league, where he's off to a slow start and then eventually got better every game. So I kind of expect the same thing, but on a more like, you know, on the next level. So it's like, I think he'll get better. He'll go to the G League. He'll find his identity or who he is as like an NBA player, find his niche. And yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be super worried about it at all.
Yeah. I mean, I watched a little bit of the games myself, and from what I saw, I feel like Bronny has like a really good understanding of the game, like on a macro scale. And I think finding a way for him to like fit in on the micro is what you kind of want to see early on. And yeah, I think he played really well defensively. I think he kind of had a little bit of hesitation at times of like how much to commit on the defensive end. And yeah, offensively, he doesn't really know where to be all the time. And it's just things that he's going to work on through G League and just getting more comfortable in the spotlight that he's going to be under for a very long time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I was, I remember I bought the SEC. What was it? I bought the Pac-10 Network last year when Bronny was in college, so I could catch a couple of the USC games back when USC was still in Pac-10. And his offensive tendencies that he was doing in college, granted, like he had the whole hard thing, and then he was out for a while. He tends to linger on the wings for a while. He's not a real good off-ball mover yet. I feel like he's very stagnant, and I'm always watching. Like I watch Austin Reeves a lot. Like when I'm watching, the Lakers, I'm not watching the guy with the ball. I'm watching the guy who's setting the screens. I'm watching people setting back picks. I'm watching people who are cutting, you know, especially because this year, JJ Redick has been preaching movement, movement, movement. There's always going to be movement. So along with the coupling of shooting threes, there's been a lot of movement, but when Bronny comes in, the first thing I notice is just stagnation, just posted up. And I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know if that's, you know, what JJ Redick's telling him to do, but it doesn't seem like he's really in the flow of the offensive scheme that JJ's trying to put together so far. So I'm sure, yeah, he gets his reps in and he's going to figure it out. But on the other side of the rookies, Dalton Connect, we got ourselves a baller.
He looks good.
We got ourselves a baller. I don't know if he's going to crack the rotation yet, depending on injuries. Like, I don't know, you know, depending on Vando, depending on Christian Wood. But damn, Dalton's got a stroke, man. No diddy. It is crazy. It was when I'm watching this guy play, he has so much confidence, so much confidence. The form looks amazing. JJ Redick said that he's already in the top 1% of like shooters as far as like mentality and form. And you can see it translate to the court. Yesterday, when we were playing the Suns, he got the look for the game winner, right? He didn't sink it because the Suns disrupted the play and he had to kind of just jack something up. But it felt, it was like one of those moments, like, you know, when you're watching Kobe shoot a shot, you know, when you're watching Steph shoot and you're just like, there's no way that's not going in. It feels like that. I'm not trying to compare Dalton Connect to those guys, but I'm just saying the mechanics of the shot. Yeah, the mechanics of the shot, the way that it looks, the way that it feels, and the confidence that he exudes through the TV, I'm like, damn. Give this guy like 2 years, and he's a three-level scorer. He goes to the hoop. He's got a good mid-range, and he, like, the release is quick. It's not as quick as Steph's, but it's like it reminds me of it's like a little bit more fluid Klay Thompson. Like, Klay's wow. Very just like mechanics are perfect, you know?
Yeah, picture perfect.
Yeah, Dalton's got a little bit more, I guess, like swagger to it, I guess. Hmm. That's the only way I can explain it. But we got ourselves a baller there.
Yeah, and I think having a guy like J.J. Redick be his coach, I think that's going to be huge for a player like Dalton Connect, because J.J. Redick in his playing days was, you know, three-point assassin.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, those are my two biggest takeaways. Other things I noticed, and I know that you guys didn't really get to catch too much, but I was like in it the whole way through. Yesterday, Cam Reddish got to get back in. He was off. He's off of injury. He's back in. He was with the secondary unit, but he also looked good. He looked like he was confident, and obviously, like, second half of the game, they're playing against their, you know, second unit slash G Leaguers as well. But Cam seemed to have a confidence about him. Like, he was in there trying to prove something. I don't know if it was the new haircut. I don't know if he heard the slander all year about, you know, Darvin shouldn't have been starting him, this and that. But, like, there is a new confidence about Cam that I really, really like as well. So, great to see Cam in there. And last but not least, like, I feel like at this point, it's clickbait to be like, yeah, LeBron and AD, like, they look great. What are we gonna say about LeBron and AD?
Yeah. You know,
like, LeBron had 19 points in 16 minutes. AD looked like a monster. The first play of the game was a lob to Anthony Davis from Austin Reeves, and it was seamless. Like, I'm not going to talk about the superstars. I wanted to focus more on the people that are, like, the up-and-comers, and damn. Yeah, actually, thank you for bringing that up. Max Christie looked amazing game one. Game two, he struggled a little bit, but he's just very confident, and I'm confident that he's going to take the lead this year as well. But yeah, no, LeBron – 16 minutes, he had 19 points. Anthony Davis, where we at? 17 points, 17 minutes. Like, what are we gonna say about these guys? Like,
I mean, Anthony Davis shooting threes is a nice change.
Very good. And I don't want to get myself worked up. I don't want to be like, it's preseason. Like, everybody's in great shape right now. Anthony Davis is gonna jack up threes because J.J. Redick's telling him to. Is this gonna translate to the regular season? I hope so. But, I mean, J.J. Redick's talking about how he wants the Lakers to shoot 50 threes a game.
That's a lot of threes.
That's a lot of threes, man. If this was last year, we would be the number one team in the league at three-point attempts. Boston shot 61 threes in their first preseason game against Denver. 61.
Wow.
61 fucking threes, man.
That's ridiculous.
Do the Warriors shoot? Like, I feel like you guys are the prototype for this. So –
they only shot 48 in their game.
Yeah. So. And I wouldn't say they necessarily shot the three well.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's something that's going to, you know, as they play more, shots will fall.
So are we just assuming, like, the more chances you get up, the better, like, the more chance you have to, like, make sure you're right there competing numbers wise? Like, is three is better than two? Like, I don't know. I get a little worried that, like, you have a night where, you know, Lakers jack up. I mean, and it could be for any team. It could be for the Warriors too. You jack up right. 50 threes, you make fucking 10 of them.
It's a gamble because it's like you hear all the, like, guys that played, like, before the 3-point. I don't know what you want to call it, but, like, the 3-point
revolution.
Yeah, thank you. The revolution, and 3-point shot. Then it was like a low percentage shot. Like, you wouldn't take a lot of threes.
Right.
But now it's like you got shooters that can knock them down at a high clip. It's like now that shot's looking a bit more enticing. And three is more than two. But there's also the old saying, live by the three, die by the three.
This is true.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of teams die by the three in important playoff series before. But, I mean, the fact that the three-point shot has become more efficient as an option for a player, it's going to be what the NBA is it will be about for a very long time. I don't see them moving away from three until they make radical changes.
You think yeah. live by the three, die by the three. Who's the first person that comes to mind?
James Harden.
Yeah. James Harden?
James Harden. That Houston Rockets team.
Yeah, yeah. The first thing that came to my mind was Mike D'Antoni.
Yep. Pretty much.
Anybody that was on that team, man.
Eric Gordon, James Harden, PJ Tucker, you yeah, name PJ it. Tuck.
See, yeah. PJ Tucker's trying to them and him and the Clippers are like mutually agreeing that they're going to send him somewhere else.
I hope he finds a good spot because I think he's a good player. I think he can contribute somewhere.
Where do you think he fits
Detroit.
In? Is that just to send him off somewhere? Or you just
think I think him just bringing like some type of like aggressive like grounding presence to that roster might actually kind of like give him an
for engine. A young team.
No pun intended, but an engine to kind of like I don't know get them moving in a positive direction. Because it feels like the Pistons have been kind of lacking that for a while.
Is Monty Williams still over there?
I can't remember.
I think Monty Williams is still the head coach. That would be crazy.
I think actually paid him to
leave. Down.
Yeah, like they gave him that huge contract, and then they fired him, but they're like, we'll still pay you, but like we'll pay you not to be our coach.
That's crazy.
And that's kind of like Frank Vogel is right now. Did you see that? Frank Vogel got let go for Budenholzer for the Suns organization, and then now he is working with the Mavericks, I believe.
I think you're right. I saw a picture of him and Jason Kidd.
And if I'm really doing the numbers, I think he might have a year left of like Lakers salary coming in as well. I could be wrong.
So he's chilling.
I think last year. Yeah, because we got rid of him for Darvin Ham. We had Darvin for two seasons. I know we signed a 5-year, and now we got JJ. Isn't it like I just couldn't imagine just getting fired and just still making
the coaching carousel?
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure who the coach currently is for Detroit, but I do agree with Roman that Detroit would be a nice fit for PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
A couple other teams that came to mind for me would be both in the Eastern Conference would be the Orlando Magic or the Pacers.
Yeah.
Oh, the Pacers. Yeah. I like that.
You know who I want to see have a resurgence, man? I would love to see Charlotte like make a playoff.
Oh, I don't know.
They need a roster to make the playoffs.
you're telling me LaMelo isn't enough.
He's just always hurt, it seems like.
Is what's his name over there? The I don't want to say it.
Miles Bridges.
You know who I'm talking about. Miles Bridges. Yeah, Miles Bridges. Yeah.
Yeah,
Miles
he's still there.
Yeah.
Yes. And Grant Williams is there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Grant Williams. Oh man.
Who's their center? I feel like it's a Plumlee. I feel like
there's like always a Plumlee on that team.
Yeah. Is it a maybe Plumlee Mason or Olynyk at this point?
Yeah. One of those guys.
Like whenever I think of those teams, like whenever I think of like the obscure teams, I always think of like Olynyk or I think there's a Plumlee there.
Why is it always like they'll play your team and they're just giving your team the business.
The business. And
just drop every like 27 time. Points on you. Just no.
For no reason.
Yeah, for no reason. Oh my God. I know. It makes no sense. Like Kelly Olynyk always, like when he was playing for the Jazz, like gave the Lakers the business. Played for the Heat, gave the Lakers the business. Always, bro. I don't even know why or how. But Kelly Olynyk is just always there somehow. It's just this super tall, goofy dude that just like jacks up these shots and they just go in. And you're like, how the fuck is this happening?
Was it Mason Plumlee with the Nuggets or was it Miles?
I don't remember.
But the
Miles.
The Plumlee brother that played with the Nuggets, that was an issue for a little bit.
Yeah. Man. I think it was.
I just remember the blonde hair.
Yeah. And now they're all like, what, probably like 35, 34, 1-year contracts, just like
Oh, yeah.
They're on their, like, eighth team in 10 years.
but I take, you know, I tip my hat to those players like that that still find jobs.
Oh, for sure.
Like the NBA, because it's like that's so hard to do.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, like, right now I feel like having a big bodied center 3 years, 4 years ago, you're like, no way. And now it's like,
now you need
you
one.
Can get, you, yeah, you can get like a solid mid-level exception for being able to potentially guard Jokic or Embiid.
Just potentially guard. Just like,
yeah, just, yeah, exactly.
Just have a body there.
Yeah.
Like right now, as a Lakers fan, like, obviously, we didn't get the Valanciunas. I mean, and trust me, Washington is going to come down the road later and be like, hey, you want Valanciunas now? It's going to cost you forever. And we're going to figure out what it is to make it happen. But like, there is just so, I forget where I was going with this. But like, long story short, is like, yes, you could be a big bodied center right now and just like make a bag and just, oh. I just wish that we could have found somebody, man. I wish we would have got Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah.
There's a couple other people, too.
It's all up until the Wemby takeover. I mean, it's already happening right now, but like having those guys on the perimeter guarding Wemby one-on-one, oof.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's not going to be good.
I mean, it's Roman's 3-seed this year, so.
He's the future. He's the future of this in the entire league.
No, I agree. I think that, yeah, I think it's LeBron this year. I think we're going to get – if I'm – this is just me. I think we're going to get the farewell tour next year. I think next year is his last year.
That's yeah, me. I don't think that this is his last season.
No, this definitely isn't his last season. I think he's, like, rejuvenated. Like, a lot of people are talking about, like, the whole Bronny situation, like, oh, nepotism, this and that. Like, first and foremost, like, the Lakers are an organization that always try to make history, right? Like, they want to be in the books. Like – talk about the bubble chip all you want. We got the bubble chip. We got the in-season tournament. We have a chip with Bron, and we're going to be the first organization to have a father-son duo play in the league, right? But the other thing that I think as well is LeBron's been doing this. This is year 22, right? He is 39 years old. He has been doing this for 22 years. He's done 22 media days. He's been to nine NBA finals. You know, he's only got four championships, but he's done everything, right? But he hasn't played with his son. So the people that claim nepotism, the people that claim this and that, like, are the Lakers just smart for doing it? Because it seems like LeBron has a massive pep in his step right now for being 39 years old.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of buying into this, like, this moment that you don't ever think would be possible for anyone else.
Yeah.
But, like, LeBron just has had that longevity for his entire career, like no major injuries, or at least like minor injuries. And like this is just an opportunity to, I don't know, put like the cherry on top for his already illustrious career and for the Lakers to kind of just keep themselves in that we are relevant in the league still like conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the man. Or like I'm keeping up with all of the Twitter guys. I'm following all of the forever. I've been following all the YouTube accounts. I'm checking on Lakers all the time. I'm watching all of the Spectrum, you know, after post game, pre game, all that stuff. Right. LeBron just seems like a different animal right now. And I mean, like, obviously it's one preseason game, but 19 points in 16 minutes. He looks like he just came off the Olympic run. He looked fucking great. I genuinely feel like a lot of this is because he's playing with his son. I genuinely think that. And I know it won't last. It's not like John Bronny's going to go to the G League. He might come up for like one or two games here and there, depending on the matchup, right? But like you can bet, you can mark it, jot it down, put it in ink. LeBron is, for the first 3 weeks of the season, LeBron's going to be an MVP for him. Like, he's going to look like an MVP, and it's because Bronny's on the bench. I already know for a fact. So like, Bronny came in the second quarter, right? The beginning of the second quarter. I have a feeling that is going to be for game one, that's going to be the rotational piece. Bronny will come in sometime at the beginning of the second quarter, whenever LeBron's in, just to make the moment happen. Right. And we'll probably see that for the first couple games, it'll slowly die off. Because I mean, if we go like 1-5, our first couple games, that's not happening. Right. But you're gonna see LeBron, whenever Bronny's in there, just have that extra pep, because he's like, LeBron always knows where the cameras are at. LeBron always knows what people are talking about. Like, he's going to go extra hard for this. So I think the Lakers made a good move with this, because I think it solidifies you're going to have a locked-in LeBron for year 22, in my opinion. I feel good about that. I'd drop the mic, but I'm sure somebody's already had that take.
I think that's a fair take.
Yeah. So, you know, that's all. That's my Lakers spiel. You know, we spent some good time on that. Let's talk about the Dubs, man. Let's talk about the Warriors. I know you guys have played one game so far, right?
Yes, sir. We played the Clippers on Saturday.
Yeah.
Narrow victory.
Narrow.
Narrow victory. One point victory. Let me pull up the.
Thank you, Lindy Waters.
Yes, thank you, Lindy Waters. We will be talking. All right.
Yeah. So
here we are. It's our box score. Yeah, it was a 90-91 victory. Lindy Waters hit the game-winning shot with, like, you know, time expiring.
Yeah.
It was a good watch, I'd say. Defensively, I think they looked pretty good. The shooting was they did shoot some threes. A lot of them didn't fall, but you know, Lindy Waters, it was going for him. He's 5 for 7.
Oh yeah, he was just letting them fly, and for everyone else that was missing threes, it was greatly appreciated.
Yeah,
yeah, and he's looking like you know, it's game one of the preseason, but I really like what I saw from Lindy Waters, and I hope that he is a piece for this team moving forward. Like, I think that shooting is just so desperately needed. And even though I'm pretty sure I've said on record that this team has a lot of shooting with Buddy Hield, Steph, and all these guys in media day, I feel like a common theme was that they worked on their jump shot. Like Kuminga said, he worked on his shot. Kyle Anderson said he worked on, you know, he switched some mechanics in his shot.
Yeah.
Even Kevon Looney has said, like, he wants to branch out and shoot more mid-range and threes. But Lindy Waters, though, he can knock him down.
That's the guy. How is Guy Santos? I have no idea who that is.
Guy Santos has been around for a while.
Fucking Warriors legend. G League legend.
In the works. But I think, yeah, he's I'm not sure if his contract's a two-way contract, but I know last year he was splitting time between the two, Santa Cruz and Golden State, but he spent a lot of time up in Golden State, and I think he's a guy that Steve Kerr really wants to get going.
Yeah.
But
you guys,
I think
that's right. You guys got Kevin Knox. How did he play?
He had kind of limited minutes.
We didn't
really get to see too much, like, genuine exposure to how we fit in the system.
I was gonna say the New York legend of the Bay Area.
Nick legend. Yeah, Nick legend, I'm assuming we'll probably see more of him later in the preseason.
Yeah.
But yeah, rotation wise, next game is, I believe it's Wednesday against Sacramento.
Oh yeah. At Sac. I remember seeing that.
Yeah, it's gonna be at the Golden One Center. But yeah, they started D'Anthony Melton and with Steph, Draymond, and I believe
TJD
started, and I believe Kuminga started as well.
Yep.
And I liked how D'Anthony Melton looked a lot, actually.
Yeah, he seemed to operate with Steph on the floor really well. He knew where to put himself, and I mean, I like his jump shot. He seemed confident in all of his shots, and defensively he looked really good.
Yes.
In the brief amount of time that I did see him kind of operate as the primary ball handler, I liked what I saw a lot, honestly, and it made me consider if he could potentially be that secondary guy for the Warriors. But if that takes away time from him to operate with Steph Curry, I don't know if that would, you know, take away from his ability to be more efficient offensively. So that's something that they're going to have to look at.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. Cause watching him be the primary ball handler, I was like, this could, you know, I think this could work. But again, it's like, I think that second unit is going to need a primary ball handler. And if Melton and Steph can work together well, like they did in, you know, the first game of the preseason. Like, I don't know if you want to take that away, which means somebody's going to have to step up. I'd hope to see, you know, maybe that's Pajemski or who knows? Like, it's.
Yeah, where is Pastor?
Oh, so they actually had a pretty – they played a lot of guys. So he's actually on the bottom right here.
Oh, yeah,
he played a lot. He played 19 minutes. Pretty rough scoring night for him, but he plays hard. Like, you know, first game of the preseason, I'm not going to overreact, but
– Yeah.
He's definitely – yeah,
was he the sixth man?
I don't – I think he was. I think he was six, and then I think Moody was seven.
So Buddy came in eight.
Yeah, I think with the second unit.
Yeah, I think because they sub in multiple at once. But
yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, if we're talking Steve Kerr coming off the Olympics, it's like a whole line change.
Yeah, it's like a platoon swap.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna go back and watch it maybe later tonight. I'm ridiculously tired, so I'm gonna that might be what I fall asleep to, because I just need to check it out. I got a couple other Lakers things I want to take a look at as well, but yeah, Lakers don't play again till Thursday, I believe. We're going to Milwaukee to go see our old boy Darvin Ham. He went back to
just over there. So. Darvin Ham revenge game.
Yeah, Darvin Ham revenge game. Kareem Prince revenge game.
Oh god. No. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, other stuff that's office. Going on. Or what were you saying, Case? My bad.
I'll say that's a box office game right there.
Oh my god! When the Warriors, I'm sorry, when the Bucks come to Lakertown, that is going to be crazy, because I just want to see if Darvin Ham has his hands in his pockets. Yeah. that is like the one thing Lakers fans were just like hoping JJ Redick did not do is put his hands in his fucking pockets. He's really good about it, man. I love JJ Redick, dude. I am a fan. I am a believer in this guy. I mean, yes, he says all the right things. He's charismatic and stuff, but like, you don't understand that's how bad he used to hurt, bro. I know, but like,
yeah.
As a Lakers fan, and I know that people will feel this if you are tuned into this as a Lakers fan, there will be times where teams would go on like 10-0 runs and Darvin would not call timeout. There would be like 14-0 runs and Darvin would just be like, figure it out.
Stop the bleeding.
Yeah, and he just would not stop the bleeding until it was like TV timeout, or like he would just be there with his hands in his pockets watching the game like a casual fan.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite fan take, is that he's just like watching the game and like people go up to him on the bench. He's like, I'm trying to watch the game here. Like,
yeah, hold on.
on a heater right now. Like, what are we doing? Like, that was the hardest thing to endure, man, especially the beginning of the season. Because we weren't a really good offensive team. Like, we were two different teams last year. We, at the beginning of the year, we were a terrible offensive team that hung our hats on defense, right? We never crashed out the boards offensively, because Darvin Ham comes from the old school mentality of like, offensive boards don't matter, because we're going to punt on that to go back and make sure that we're there defensively. And somehow we would still get beat, even though we weren't sending anybody to the offensive glass, right? Second half of the season, we just were the second, the third best three-point shooting team in the league, mainly because of D'Angelo Russell and LeBron having a 41% three-point line shooting. Sorry, tired. But yeah, we completely flipped our identity, and we had no defense. And the entire time we're trying to figure out, like, is this Darvin Ham just switching things up? And nobody knew why this happened or how this happened, or we never had an identity, man. So – long-winded story short being like, I'm just really glad that JJ Redick is here to establish culture, establish identity, because we haven't had it in a long time. I mean, even with Frank Vogel, I mean, I guess you could say like the 2020 year, like the bubble chip, like at least we were a grinded out team. We were defensively sound. We had JaVale, we had Dwight. We were just like, we were tough in the secondary, and we were just like a bigger team. But like, ever since we blew that up, we just, who the fuck are we? LeBron and AD and the guys.
Yeah. And coming from a Warrior fan, like, watching the Warriors preseason game, it kind of felt like they never, you know, I know there's like a different squad, like first year without Clay.
Yeah.
It seemed like they, you know, it's the same kind of system. It didn't look like a different team to me, like in the terms of like how they played, which is interesting because in media day, Steph was saying how he'd be open to like, you know, a new style of play if it meant like, you know, greater success for the team. But
yeah, for sure. It
seemed like business as usual. Their draft pick, Quentin Post, he looked pretty good too. You got some points in the paint, which is something like is really rare to see from Warriors bigs.
Yeah.
He's just living up to the name.
Yeah, exactly. But there was a lot of, you know, there's still a lot of small ball that was played. And
I mean, that's at least you had that as a cultural identity. You shoot threes and you run small ball. We know that about the Warriors. We know that. Yeah. We know Steph is shooting them threes. We know Draymond's getting ejected. And we know you guys are probably going to be in the play-in just like we are.
Oh,
the only difference is we don't know who we are. So this year, we're shooting more threes. And we're trying to hang our hats on good defense. So we will see.
Yeah, I think that could be a recipe for success. Like, I think this Warriors team is going to be, it was a pretty low scoring game this first game. So I think there's going to be a lot more defense this year. And I sure hope there is.
Yeah.
And I would do want to add that Moses Moody looked pretty aggressive out there. Shooting the shot well. Like to see, you know, I think it's gonna more Moody minutes, and I think it's in motion.
I'm gonna make a graphic for that whenever we say it.
It's in motion.
That comes out, it's like more Moody minutes.
Yeah, it have like the screen like explode or something.
Oh, I mean, sometimes it's like if you put like the thumbs up, like things happen.
I've noticed that.
It was doing great job. Nothing's happened. That was insane.
Yeah, like there's like balloons that happened that one time too.
Yeah, I need to like automate that off. I don't know.
I don't even know where that is.
I know it's like our sixth time. Dude, I don't know.
Just freestyle. I mean,
other than like the Warriors Lakers talk, I mean, like, did you see the big bodega as they call him now, Karl Anthony Towns? I don't like.
You know, what is that nickname, man?
Yeah. First things first. Not a fan of the nickname. He's cat.
Bodega.
Yeah.
But did see some highlights from him, and he was doing, you know, cat things. Like, he was shooting threes. I saw him drive to the rack and score pretty aggressively. There are two positives.
Do you think it, like, makes New York a better team? I know we were talking about it a little bit last time.
I don't know. I think
we didn't get Roman's take on this. You were with us last time, Roman.
I mean – knowing that Mitchell Robinson is going to again be injured at the start of the season and will be missing time.
Yeah.
The Knicks, obviously, like so many teams, are missing a good center for their team.
Right.
And not that Cat is a traditional five, but he offers a little bit more spacing for the team. And I know Brunson likes to drive a lot to the rim, and having space for him to work there should be helpful. I don't know. The trade itself is just so weird because they're losing so much from DiVincenzo being gone and Julius Randle for all of his flaws. Like, I don't think it was a good trade for New York. I think that they could have. It seemed like a desperation thing from New York personally. And
it was like move the needle to move the needle, make a trade just to do it.
Situation. Yeah, to keep the excitement going for New York. But I also think it was a very questionable move for the Wolves. Like, there was no reason to break down what worked really well for you last year.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hope DiVincenzo and Randle can help fill some of the gap that Cat left, but it was a very surprising move. I did not see that coming. So,
well, I can tell you from we played the Timberwolves. I didn't talk about this because obviously, like, the Suns is the most relevant thing that we have to talk about because we're recording on Monday. But Dante DiVincenzo started for the Timberwolves when we played him on Friday, and he lit us up. Like, he didn't lose a step. Like, he is such a good 3-point shooter.
He's just a great all-around guy.
He's a great exactly. Yeah. He comes from your guy's tree. You know, they call him the big ragu. Yeah, everybody's the big something.
The big something, the ragu.
But yeah, he lit us up. I think it was 2 for 2 or 3 for 3 from three. And he only played the first quarter and a half, and he just sat. But it's just so weird to see it, you know. It's just like one of those things you're not ready to see. Like DiVincenzo in a Minnesota uniform is very strange. Cat, I don't know. I just think the personality type isn't there, and only time's gonna tell. You know, it's like
exactly
you adapt to the people you play with, you adapt to your city, you adapt to your situation.
Yeah, I feel maybe like midway through the season, I'll have a different tune about it, but.
Yeah,
I don't know.
As of right now, I got a sour taste in my mouth.
As of right now, like I do like the idea of DiVincenzo teaming up with Edwards because I'm a fan of Anthony Edwards.
Yeah,
and I think a player like DiVincenzo helps out that team, but I think he helps out any team you put him on. He's just that kind of player.
I don't even know. Do they start DiVincenzo? Because I mean, you got to think.
I don't know because I feel like
I don't think they can.
So if you want to run like Edwards at the three, so but I feel like it's Connolly at the one.
Yeah.
Connolly, and then you got Edwards,
Jay McDaniels.
Yeah, at the three, Randall at four, Gobert at five.
So DiVincenzo is your sixth man. So
yeah,
I mean, and supposedly, and I don't know if this is true. I think I saw this from Shams, the newest ESPN. Guy, that's kind of crazy too. But hey, we called it. You heard it here first.
We did. We sure did.
But I think I was reading something about like DiVincenzo said that like with Mikal Bridges being there and whatnot, like he wasn't necessarily opposed to the trade because he wasn't that thrilled about having a more diminished role on that team. But do you put your feelings aside? Like you got another good player. Right. And Mikal Bridges. I don't know the inside. I'm not Sham. You're not Sham. We're not Woj. But like, I feel like as a player, you put your feelings aside and you know that like, if you're running it back with everybody healthy plus the addition of Mikal Bridges, you're going to be good. You can get through the East. You just got to hold on until Mitchell gets back. And I think it's supposed to be like late November, or early December. I mean, it's a lot of games, but still. Like you can get through that
before the All-Star break and
for sure, then do your playoff push.
And from a from a fan perspective, like I really wanted to see that Villanova group play together in the NBA. I think that's just such a cool story that like, you know, we don't really get to see, and now we don't get to see it, but hopefully, I don't know, both teams find success in this somehow, but as of right now, I'm not a fan of the trade, but we'll see. I mean, we'll check back in once the season starts, see how it really looks on the court. But
Roman, if you're a betting man, my boy, what's the Knicks record by the end of the year?
Oh, the Knicks record. God, how many wins did they have last year?
I'm sure we can check. I'll Google it right now.
My guess is they had like 47 wins.
Knicks record 23-24. They were 50 wins. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, 50 and 32.
Yeah, 50 and 32. I guess maybe 47 is. Yeah, I know. It's a 2 seed.
They were the 2 seed?
They were the 2 seed last year.
That's insane. Didn't like something happen at the very end that like pushed them up into that?
It looks like Milwaukee lost or something because there were 49 wins.
Yeah, I it was Milwaukee. That's right.
It was really close though between like the first, I don't know, like 2 and 4. It's like a game.
I think if they're healthy, they beat the Pacers.
Yeah.
I think they beat the Pacers. The Knicks, I remember listening to Game 7, right? It was Game 7 in the Garden. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I was on a half marathon run in Ventura listening to that. And I was trying to like hold the screen out and I'm just like listening to JJ. It was JJ Doris and Mike Breen calling it. And I just I was praying so hard that New York was gonna do it. Like as soon as the Lakers got eliminated, whenever the Lakers get eliminated, I become a New York Knicks fan. Just for the hype.
Just for the hype.
just for the hype, because I want to see Boston lose. I guess it's not that I'm really a Boston or a New York fan. It's more of like I'm just like anybody in the East beat Boston, you know? So it's like New York, Philadelphia.
Sure. I feel like for me with the Knicks, it's like for the majority of my lifetime, the Knicks have not been like a great team. Like they've had
stints. They were too young.
They were good. Right. And like when they had Melo, they went on some runs, and they went on runs like, you know, in most recent history too. But they were never like Eastern Conference Finals. Like these guys are contenders, but now it feels like they're in the mix.
Oh yeah,
and I like to see them like get over that hump. But I feel like Boston's a juggernaut.
Yeah, Boston's just still too good. Until someone can prove that they can beat the Celtics, it's hard to bet against the Celtics,
especially in the East, because it feels like after like New York and Philly, and like maybe Milwaukee. We'll see how Milwaukee looks this season, but
yeah,
just you know, there's you think
they bring it around? You think they get to at least like 45, 46 wins this year?
Sorry, what'd you say?
I said the Bucks. You think they turn it around this year? Year two of Doc Dame and Giannis and Thanasis.
Yeah, it's. I feel like just with those two star players, even with like limited contributions from Chris Middleton, like they should be able to get around that kind of win total and
maybe
be a top four seed.
Yeah, I mean it's Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and probably at five is going to be the Miami Heat because Heat culture, right?
Yeah, maybe the Cavaliers or.
Yeah, Cavs, and then Magic, and I'd
like to see the Magic do some work.
Yeah,
I mean they were a team that I'd like to see. I wanted to see Klay Thompson go to if he wasn't going to sign back with the Warriors.
Yeah,
I feel like they could have been shooting.
Yeah, Banchero definitely needed the help there. Can you imagine KCP goes and Klay Thompson goes?
Oh, that's right. They did get KCP. That's a good move for them.
I think Casey, like, I hated and loved KCP, you know, like, he's very streaky, but he's a good defensive player, too. Like, he is a good 3-and-D guy.
So yeah.
That's, like, the other – if you could have a good center and a good 3-and-D guy, you're set. Fucking set, man.
It's a good time.
Well, yeah, we're at 47 minutes, man. I'm going to – I think let's call it here. I'm super, super tired. We got to chop this thing up and get it up to the socials, but – it is, yeah, it's Monday. You said what Warriors play again Wednesday, right?
Wednesday, yes, sir.
Maybe after the game we can do like a live thing, or maybe we could do our first like live stream broadcast or something like that after the Warriors game. We talk about it because I'm gonna watch that game. Lakers don't play till Thursday, so we can do it live and see if we can get anybody in here. Yeah, kind of fun. Break it down.
Wednesday, 7:30. Yeah, yeah.
7:30. So game will probably be over 9:45. Get in here for like a quick 30, 40 minutes just to talk about the game.
Yeah.
You're kind of cool. I'll be down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it is this has been episode 6 of the Bale podcast. I think at some point we're gonna stop like titling these. I think it's just, you know, we're just talking basketball.
It could be an episode, yeah.
It's just another episode. But you know, and also I want to do segments too. I want there to be like Roman's room where you know you get your 10 minutes of talking Casey's corner.
Oh wow!
It's corner.
I've been thinking about this, or just off the dome.
It's kind of off the dome. Well, I mean, like there was a. I don't know if you've seen like the entire series of Eastbound and Down, but in like the last season when Kenny Powers is doing like sports talk television and stuff like that, he's like one of the side guys that's like trying to always be like the main center of attention. So he has this little segment and he'd always be like, oh, hold on a second, Kenny's cutting in. And then it like goes into like, I'm like, we need segments, man. Brock's boardroom. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. You know, one day at a time. We're gonna be on episode 7 next time. So yeah, we'll try to get back on here Wednesday after the Warriors game to break down how that all went. Maybe we'll have Brock with us. Brock, if you're listening, what's up, my boy? And yeah, but for me, Casey, and Roman, hey, thanks for tuning into the Bay LA podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. Make sure to like and subscribe, Apple Music, Spotify, here on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts and vlogs. Until next time, we'll see you again. Take care, guys.
See you around.
See ya. Later.